That would be cruel. I don't suppose anybody has opened presents yet this morning. So there is still a mountain of parcels sitting underneath a tree or wherever you keep them. I wonder just how long it will take after you get home before you open them. I wonder how patient you can be. I wonder if you could wait until this evening. I wonder if you could wait till tomorrow. After all, tomorrow is Boxing Day, so that's obviously an appropriate time to open boxes. So you can only open things that aren't in boxes today. Or how about waiting until next Thursday, New Year's Eve, or even Friday, New Year's Day, before you open things? I wonder if you could wait until the end of January. I wonder if you could wait until Easter. Do you have enough patience to wait that long? Let me give you a few verses, not all in one go, but a few verses to ponder. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes about the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." When the fullness of time had come. Very often when you're speaking to people about the gospel and you're explaining what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, they will ask you the question, why did God wait so long before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world? Surely it would have been better if God had fulfilled the understanding of Eve and sent the Lord Jesus immediately. Eve, when she gave birth to Cain, said, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And most people think this refers back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when God promises that the seed will come who will crush the serpent's head. And it appears that Eve thought this child born to her was that seed which would crush the serpent's head. So why didn't Jesus come immediately? Well, Paul tells us, although we may not like the answer is it's when the fullness of time had come. It was the right time. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The time of Jesus' birth was perfect. It was exactly right on God's timetable. Might not be right in our thinking, but who are we? The moment we say, well, surely it would have made more sense if Jesus had come now in an age of mass communication. And Jesus could have gone in front of the cameras and with satellites. Every word he said, every move he made could have been broadcast throughout the whole world. So why did God not wait until now? Because God knew the best time and the right time. The wisdom, the reason, the logic of man might seem to be better than God's, but God's wisdom is always better than ours, because God's foolishness is better than ours, and if his foolishness is better than the greatest of man's wisdom, how much greater is God's wisdom? And God in his wisdom chose that time and that place. Why that place? Because it's what had been promised from ages past, that the child would be a descendant of Adam and Eve, that the child would be a descendant of Abraham, that the child would be a descendant of David, that the child would be born in Bethlehem. There are many other prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these prophecies keep narrowing it down until eventually, at the right time, Jesus was born into the world. It's interesting, as you read this account, we read this account with Western eyes, Western minds, and we think that when Luke writes as he does, that the cruel, hard-hearted innkeeper, when this young couple with Mary heavily pregnant, he said, "No, you can't come in here, there's no room. Get out." And so they had to go into the stable round the back. And almost the moment they stepped into the stable, Mary went into labour and Jesus was born. When you read this with Middle Eastern, oh, I don't know when the Middle East moved, because when I was at school, what we call the Middle East was the Near East. I have an atlas that says that. But if we read it with first century eyes, Palestinian eyes, Judean eyes, it doesn't come out quite so hard-hearted. Here we have Joseph, who was royal. He was descended from David. He comes to David's town, Bethlehem. All he needed to do in entering the town, if he had not got immediate family living there, which he might well have done, was to say, I am Joseph, and here is my lineage going back several generations. And immediately people have said, "Your family." Or, "We know where your family lives." And immediately they would have been taken in to the house of a member of his family. That is the way things work then. People were extremely hospitable, especially at a time like this. And so they would have been taken in, and while they were there, notice it doesn't say, "and as soon as they arrived," while they were there, we don't know if it was a day, we don't know if it was a week, but it was while they were there, they were spending some time there, because of the sentence, the time came for her to give birth. So they didn't arrive late at night, cold, weary, desperate, and had to make do with a stable. They were taken into a house. And the houses that would have been typical in Bethlehem would have comprised of two, or at most three, rooms. In the main living area, everybody would have lived, cooked, eaten, and slept, and at night they would have brought in to that one room any animals that they had. Obviously they would be at one end. They would have been boxed in some way or other, tied up. Great when it's cold. The animals give you added warmth. Might have ponged a bit, but you'd have got used to that. And in the floor, you would have had some depressions in which there was hay, or something similar for the animals to eat. Some sort of fodder for them. And you might also have had a manger, that is a wooden structure in which you would put feed for the sheep or for the cows. And everybody would have slept there. Now, if you had someone present who was pregnant, and when the time came for her to give birth, they would have ushered out all the men, and all the women would have been fussing round and helping the pregnant woman to give birth. This being a time when lots of people were coming to Bethlehem from far away and visiting and staying with family, the guest room would have been full, and so everybody occupying the guest room, that's not a place where Mary would have given birth. They would have ushered everybody out of the main living area, and she would have given birth in the main living area. So, you look in vain for the word stable. It's not there. The word translated in is a mistranslation. It should be guest room. Because when you read about Jesus and the Last Supper, where did they meet? They met in the upper room, which was the guest room of a house. It's the same word used in John's Gospel and the other Gospels as is used here. We don't say that Jesus had the Last Supper in an inn. We say that he had the Last Supper in an upper room, a guest room in a house. So most of the Christmas cards are wrong. Completely wrong. When the shepherds are told about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Their first thought would be, he must have been born in a palace. But then, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And that immediately told the shepherds, he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in an ordinary house. An ordinary house where real, ordinary people, just like them, lived. And to emphasize that this wasn't a tall story, you then get the heavenly host appears, singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus was not coming into the world, as we've seen before, to lord it over everybody, but he came, God in human form, came to be a servant. He came humbly. He came to humble himself even to death on the cross. He humbled himself, and how is it that we can be so proud and arrogant and boastful and make demands of other people, and yet Jesus, God in human form, never did such a thing? Who in the whole of human history has more right to make demands upon us than God? And yet when God came in human form, he didn't do that. Every time we make demands, don't you know who I am? You should do this for me. Every time we do that sort of thing, we are claiming that we are greater than God is. And is this not the high point of sin? The Lord Jesus tells us, the whole of the scriptures tell us, that we are sinners and that we have offended God and that we are ripe for judgment. The wages of sin is death. Why does anybody die? It's because we have earned it by our sin. We are getting paid what we deserve. Not a penny more and not a penny less. We receive exactly what we deserve. Our sin leads to death. And it's in us from the very moment of birth, indeed. You talk to many mothers as they feel the kicking of the child in their womb, would say yes, and before birth as well. We are sinners through and through. There is not one part of our being that is not tainted with sin. We deserve death. And yet what has God done? God has provided us with a saviour. God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to be a sacrifice for our sins, so that all those who repent and believe are forgiven their sins. My sins were forgiven 43 years ago. And it was amazing and unexpected. Have your sins been forgiven? The Lord Jesus Christ was sent by God as a gift. The gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Not that we deserve it, not that we're worth it, but God is gracious and freely offers that gift to us. When I asked you at the beginning about Christmas presents and whether you'd received any, and I was fairly sure you hadn't yet opened any, but are you going to look at a present and see on the label that it's addressed to you from someone who loves you? And are you going to look at it and say, no, not going to open that. I'll toss it in the bin. Well, I'll open it later on. I'll open it tomorrow. I'll open it next week or next month or next year. I mean, it'll be all right in a year's time. Unless it's an orange. An orange, it'll have gone off. But most foodstuffs will have gone off. As long as it's not food, you're okay. Perhaps you'll leave it for 5 years. Put it on the shelf. Look at it. I've been sent a present. Isn't that nice? Haven't a clue what it is. But I'm sure it's nice. 5 years later you think, well, I haven't opened it for 5 years, so another 5 years. Doesn't matter, it's still there. Still waiting for me. I can open it at any time. And the time goes by and 10 years comes and then 20. 25 and 30. And after 50 years you look at it and you think, perhaps I'll open it now. And you open it up and you discover, for example, it's a brand new iPhone. Except it's a 50-year-old iPhone and it's not compatible with anything. Something you could have benefited from and would have blessed you for several years or longer, and it's useless. Perhaps even worse, you put off opening the gift so long that it's your executor who opens it after you've died. And so it has not benefited you at all. God has sent you a gift. The gift of salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift is offered to you freely. All that is necessary is that you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people who say, and I've heard this time and again, for decades, people have said, I like the idea of being forgiven for all of my sins. I like the idea of being delivered from sin and death and hell. I like the idea of having a sure and certain hope for the future. I like the idea of being with the Lord Jesus Christ forever in eternal glory. I like the idea. And I'm glad that God has given us that gift. But I'm not going to receive it yet. I'll wait. Someone I was at university with, he said, I'm going to wait till I'm on my deathbed. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Has he ever received the gift of God? Have you ever received the gift of God? You see, one of the problems with the gift of God, the offer of salvation, is that God makes the offer to you now. There is no guarantee that you have that God will continue to make the offer tomorrow. I'm not saying that you might be dead tomorrow. I'm saying that tomorrow your heart might become hardened. You might harden your heart, or worse of all, God might harden your heart, and it will be too late to receive God's gift. Are you so foolish? Silly? It's ridiculous to put off for another day, for another hour, for another minute, or even second, receiving the glorious gift that God offers to you. Now, we are told, is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When is the best moment to receive the Lord Jesus Christ if you are an unbeliever? When is the very best moment that you could put your trust in him? The answer is 12 minutes and 25 seconds on the morning of the 25th of December 2015. Except that time's gone. The time is now. Will you receive and open the gift that God has given to you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that is all. Confessing to God your sin and that you have been wrong up to this moment, and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who have done that will testify that the most wonderful day of our lives was that day when we repented and we believed in the Lord Jesus. And we knew in our hearts that our sins are forgiven. And we gave thanks to God. And every day since then, with the ups and downs of life, and we may be down more often than we seem to be up, but whatever our situation, we give thanks to God that he sent his Son into the world. And so we would say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. His inexpressible gift of salvation found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this time of Christmas will be a happy time for us all, primarily because we know the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, and that we rejoice in God because he sent Jesus into the world for us.